Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. The us here are talking about those who have believed, that we should be called the sons of God. I think that's very important to understand. The manner of love that God has bestowed on those who have believed is that we are called his children. That's who I am. The temptation to sin and act on that, that's my old sinful nature, which is still ever present with me. But that's not who I am in Christ. I need to act as I am in Christ and remember what great love has been demonstrated to me. All right, welcome back to Bible Line. I'm your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez. And today we are answering a listener-submitted email. This one is not necessarily a question, but it's more along the idea of advice. The person who writes in, his name is Sam, and he says, "Hi, Jesse. I'm so thankful for God that brought Bible Line and your messages into my life. I have a familiar dilemma. I struggle with the assurance of salvation. I have been a believer for over 50 years. When I was young and first believed, I was doing fine. And then later in my teen years, I caved to peer pressure and all kinds of sins. Later in my mid-20s, God lovingly brought people and situations in my life that turned my heart back to him, and he delivered me from some serious addictions and sins. Even though God has worked miracles in my life, I still struggle with sexual sin off and on. I have also been poisoned by Calvinistic teaching that I have turned from, but that is hard to undo. I believe that salvation is believing who Jesus really is and trusting totally in his finished work for salvation and nothing else. My struggle with sin and exposure to Calvinism keeps haunting me, and I keep praying for total deliverance from the doubts caused by this. Any encouraging words will help. God bless, Sam." Well, Sam, I really appreciate you writing in, and this type of email is an email that I get regularly. As a matter of fact, since we've been doing our Pastor React videos, not only have I been getting a lot of links and videos to react to, but I've also been getting a lot of emails of people not necessarily looking for answers to Bible questions, although we get those too, but people are struggling with this, you know, pulling away from Calvinistic teaching that they grew up in. And then also people are struggling with sexual sin. I think this is pervasive in our culture. I know exactly what that struggle is like. I see what the world is offering today and how the standards are being lowered every day. It seems like things are getting more and more insane. That's not an excuse, though, to dive into the temptation when it comes about to us. But I do want to answer both of your questions. But you've asked for advice, so I'm going to give you what has helped me. Just a little bit of a background. I grew up with the phrase, "Repent from your sins, turn from your sins, and you'll experience salvation." I got saved when I was 12 years old, meaning I came to an understanding that my good works were never going to be enough to save me, and that I needed to put my trust in Jesus, the Son of God, who died in my place and paid for my sins, was buried, and rose again. My uncle, Jeff Taylor, he led me to the Lord right in my home at the dining room table. But I went back to that church, that Baptist church, for I think another year or two, and would continually walk the aisle, give my life to Christ, promise to turn from my sins, but I could never do that. And, you know, that haunted me for a long time. I used the same word that you used because it's accurate. I understand that. So I want to answer that part of your question first and give you advice on that. The best way to flush out this false doctrine is to replace it with the Word. And what I mean by that, that is just the Bible. You want to try and build up an idea of salvation passages. If you go to our website, BibleLineMinistries.org, we have a scripture memory tool. It's a flashcard system, and there are a bunch of pre-determined packs there, and there's about, I think, at least three packs on salvation that use all verses that are talking about salvation. And I would encourage you to memorize those and remember the points of the gospel presentation, because all of those are backed up with verses. And begin to answer when you have a Calvinistic doubt that comes into your mind, like perseverance of the saints. Answer it with scriptural truth and believe that that is true. This is where I see people fail, is they know the Bible and they understand where things are in the Bible, and they know what the Bible says, but they're not trusting that God is saying that God means what he says. And that's a hard thing to do if you're constantly in doubt. Hey, don't forget to like, comment, and share this video so that other people can be introduced to content here on the Bible Line YouTube channel. You can also hit that red subscribe button if you haven't already, and hit the notification bell. Scroll down once you do and click all, because we post all types of content. We wouldn't want you to miss out. If you have a video that you want us to react to, or you have a Bible question that you'd like us to answer, or you're looking for advice, send it to us in our email address, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. We'll do our very best to get you a response and even make a video response, even like today's. And we're going to record a video about this too, about, you know, doubting. And I ask people very plainly, do you believe that what God says he means? Because he said it for a reason. He's trying to encourage us. He's trying to tell us how he sees things, and the promises that he makes, he will make good on them. And it's up to us to trust him. A person can put their trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior and experience salvation. You know, they're justified before God. They have the coming glorification, and they have the opportunity to practically sanctify themselves here on the earth. But that practical sanctification never happens because they don't grow into their believing. They don't grow into their maturity, and it just hinders them greatly. And so I ask people, do you take God at his word? That's, you know, that's what faith is. It's assurance in a stated or implied truth. We take God at his word for his son, Jesus Christ. We can do the same thing as we go through temptations. We can do the same things as we go through struggles. And that kind of dovetails into the next part of this answer for you here, which is, you know, the struggle with sexual sin. I did a message on this not long ago. It's on our YouTube channel. You can check it out under live stream. It was a Sunday morning message, and it's called No Lie Is of the Truth. It's a very important message, and it gets into some very important things relating to temptation. First of all, every single person is going to experience temptation. I think we're foolish if we think that we can get to the point where temptation does not affect us, where we're never going to be tempted. Okay, Jesus was tempted, and he's sinless. The difference between Jesus and us is he did not sin as he went through that temptation. Our temptation is to believe the lie. So specifically, the temptation of a false doctrine is to believe the lie that we're good enough to earn our eternal life, right? Our works are good enough to declare us righteous before God. The temptation with sexual sin, whether it's pornography or, you know, adultery or fornication, whatever it is, the lie that is being proposed as for you to believe is that this idea of sex, specifically with pornography, this is what sex is, and this is how God intended sex to be. But sex is something, it's not a bad thing if it's in the confines of marriage, the covenant of marriage. I don't like to use that word confines, it just comes in naturally, but the covenant of marriage between one man and one woman, that those people make a commitment to love one another, to protect one another, and the sex that those two individuals have in their marriage is honored. It's an undefiled thing. When sex is taken outside of that, and it's in any kind of form, whether it's sex that you're watching or that you're participating in that's not within the covenant of marriage, it is a distortion of the truth that God said about marriage. It's very important that we recognize these things, and I've done a lot of counseling on pornography with individuals, and I always try and tell people, first of all, if there's something that you've been in for a while, it's going to require time to come out of it. You can stop using pornography, but the images stay up here, and that can be something that goes on for a long time. Rest assured, victory will come, but it's going to take time. And one of the things that I'll advise to you, because you just say sexual sin here, I'm not sure exactly what sin it is. I'm going to assume it's pornography, because with most men, that's the issue. You want to start journaling and start identifying triggers for your use of pornography. Are you bored? Is there nothing going on? Are you low energy? Are you watching a certain kind of program or listening to a certain kind of music? Are you tired? Whatever may happen that brings you into this mindset where I'm going to look at and use pornography, start noticing those things. And what you're doing is you're able to spot the temptation, And now you need to define it for what it is. This is not who I am in Christ. And that's what I want to tell you, where I have victory in my Christian life over really any kind of sin. Now, I'm not saying I'm successful all the time, but I these three verses are really key and crucial for me, and I think they'll be beneficial. Because you spot the temptation, you start asking questions. This temptation to use pornography, this temptation to lash out, this temptation to lie, this temptation to steal and to put myself over the needs of somebody else. I need to identify what this is. Is this sensual, earthly, devilish wisdom, as James 3 says, or is this pure from God? And when you define those things, now you need to act on it. Okay, if it's not from God, I need to abstain from it. If it is from God, then this is something that I can enjoy. The word is what gives us what is and what isn't from God. But there's something in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3 that I think will be very helpful to you. It says this: "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." The us here are talking about those who have believed, "that we should be called the sons of God." I think that's very important to understand. The manner of love that God has bestowed on those who have believed is that we are called his children. That's who I am. The temptation to sin and act on that, that's my old sinful nature, which is still ever present with me. But that's not who I am in Christ. I need to act as I am in Christ and remember what great love has been demonstrated to me in this designation, in this adoption into God's family. Picking up in the middle of verse 1, "Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." John's saying that as a reminder. They didn't recognize Jesus as the Son of God. They, being the world, its moral and spiritual system, does not recognize Jesus as God. They write him off. They're going to say the same for you. People are going to look at this method of victory over sin and say, this isn't going to work. You can't just simply, identify things and that's going to get better. Well, you show me a better way, because people are going to build bad habits. If it's not built off the word of God, those things are not going to last. Verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." Talk about positional sanctification right there. We are set apart positionally as a child of God. Okay, that's never going to change. And it says this, "and it doth not yet appear what we shall be." That's talking about the final sanctification, the final glorification, in which we will actually have a new body and the sin nature will be gone. This old body will be gone. That we don't see that yet, but we know that. We know that it's coming. "When he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." This is great motivation and encouragement for John. And it's also supposed to be motivation and encouragement for you and me. Act in the way that you're going to be. Now you may say, well, Pastor, there's no way that I can be, without sin. You walk in your new nature, you will be avoiding sin. The new nature cannot sin. Your old nature can only sin. But you've got to start these practices. The book of 1 John is all about properly abiding in fellowship with the Lord. But then he goes to verse 3. "And every man that hath this hope," what's the hope? The hope that we're going to see him, we're going to be like him, we're going to see him as he is. We don't see how we're going to be yet right now in this life, but we know it's coming, because the manner of love that has been bestowed upon us is, I'm a child of God now. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself." That is to keep yourself pure. For what motivation? Because, sin is bad, because the world is bad. Those things may be true, but there's a better reason, because that's not who you are anymore. You're something greater than just a sinner. You're now a child of God. You have that designation. You still have that old sinful nature, and it can have mastery over your life, but you choose that. You don't have to choose that. You can choose to walk in this newness of life. So do that. And he says at the end of this verse in 1 John 3:3, "that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." You're already pure with the new nature, but this battle that we have on this earth, it's a battle of flesh versus spirit, flesh versus spirit. And whoever you feed is the one that's going to be victorious. You feed yourself pornography, you feed yourself laziness, you feed yourself all sorts of sinful appetite. You satisfy those sinful appetites. This flesh is going to be strong and this spirit will be weak. And if you vice versa that, you walk in the Spirit, you're consistent in prayer, you take care of the body of Christ, you love one another and love the Lord, You share the gospel message. You're faithful in Christian service in a good local church. You're going to grow. That's going to grow. What's the source for this? Because I want to be so good. I just want to. No. God loves me. I'm a child of His. That's the motivation. So I think if you start thinking that way, instead of, I got to fight these battles every day, that sin, it is what it is. You need to walk in the new nature. And that's trusting in the Lord. That's remembering the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, His shed blood for you and for me. And then you need to start identifying things. When temptation comes up, start noticing. You know, if you're watching a certain show and all of a sudden you're thinking about, oh, this makes me want to look at pornography, this, you know, that fire starts coming in, turn it off and don't go back to it. And some people would say, well, duh, but people aren't doing that, and that's why they have problems. You know, if you find yourself in a situation where no one's looking around and you have the opportunity to steal something, you need to put yourself in a situation where there's accountability. Okay, make sure that you're putting those guardrails up so you're not, you know, it's like the drunkard who says, I'm just going to walk by the bar, but I'm not going to go in. Well, you could walk by the bar, and then the temptation is going to be there for you to go in, and then you're going to go in. Don't go near it. Stay away from it. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14, Paul concludes after he says, you know, there is no temptation that is happening that is common to man, but God is faithful. He'll give you a way of escape. But then he says in verse 14, flee from idolatry. Run away from it. Don't mess around with it and play around with it. But then recognize who you already are. You put your trust in Jesus Christ, you're a child of God. It's guaranteed that one day, whether at His return at the rapture or at the day of your death, you're going to be with Him. You're going to see Him like He is. That should motivate us not to sin. Why would we want to act in a way that is not proper to who we're going to be in the future? You know, that sin put Jesus on the cross. I don't want to continue to live in that sin if I have freedom to do other things. And then just as a recap on the Calvinistic stuff, wash your mind with the Word. We'll put a link in there, these flashcard packs on salvation verses. I think they'll be helpful to you. So a lot of discussion here, these advice videos. I'm trying to help and help people see that you can have victory over these things, but you got to start paying attention. And I'm not saying you're silly or stupid, but you know, a lot of people, we're creatures of habit. We stop paying attention to things, especially the older we get. We just let things happen. So it requires rewinding back and saying, all right, what are these things? Let me properly identify these. And then you make the right decision. And you start making the right decision more and more and more. And that is discipline. But the fruit of that will be evident. I pray this has been helpful to you. Make sure that you write your questions to us. Questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. And I'll be more than happy to get you an email. And then also, we can even make a video just like this one. Until next time, keep looking up. Jesus Christ is coming soon. God bless you. If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.